have to say, I have never related more to a character in the Bible than I did to who we're going to meet in today's verses. We have finally reached the Samaritan woman. And guys, I cannot think of a better representation, I guess, of what my life has been like and the amazing way that Jesus chooses her, not only a woman, not only a foreigner, but a 5-time divorcee. And he chooses her to be a testament and to reach so many people that weren't even in Jesus's usual path. I mean, it is, wow. You are absolutely going to want to keep listening to this one. Just trust me. It's all coming up today on She Read It Herself. Hello. How are you? I'm so glad to be back here with you guys. I apologize, last week was just one episode, but if you saw my Instagram post on Friday, I think most of you probably follow me on there too. It's at Ms. MS Pink Monster. You saw my explanation as to why. I'm not going to get into the whole story on here because it could be a whole episode, but basically God very surely and clearly closed the door on us continuing to rent our home, and very like out of nowhere got the surprise that we had to move out in 3 months when we had been under the assumption that we were going to be able to stay for many more years. So it, long story short, went from major breakdown, crying on the floor, terrified as a single mom, what am I going to do for myself and these 3 kids, to God really incredibly answering a prayer I had said just the week before, where I asked God for our own home, that I could finally own my own house with no man. And I wanted a place that the kids and I could have security, stability, that this was our home, finally, and nobody could take that away from us. And well, I just kind of followed the breadcrumb trail in front of me. A lender happened to reach out to me on behalf of a friend of mine who's a realtor, who I think was nudging me to just put in an application, see what happens. And long story short, I got pre-approved, which is mind-boggling. And one day I will make this a whole episode because there are so many little miracles along the way, like my credit score somehow changing drastically in just 1 year with me doing nothing to change it. And just all the ways that I can see now God has been preparing me for this journey that we're on right now. And I don't know how it will end. I try to put it in God's hands every morning and just promise to be obedient to take the next step, even if it means maybe the timing doesn't work out the way that I foresee it or I would like it. I don't know. We're going to see what the ending is, but that's where I've been. That's what I have been up to for the last week. It has been a whirlwind of a time, but I'm back here now and in a really good mental place, still having to turn over fears constantly, but I'll just say this, I have more peace than anybody who doesn't believe in God and just logic would say that I probably should have considering the circumstances. But you know what? We women of faith, we know there's a different way. We know there's a better way that maybe others can't understand, but it works for us. And today we are going to meet a woman. An incredible woman. She's just got a short story in the Bible, just a handful of verses, but she shows faith. She walks through that door and ends up doing great things. And it's a woman everybody would have completely discounted, as there is no way Jesus is going to use her. So without further ado, as they say, let's get right into it. Now, we've been going through the book of John together for the last few months, and you know one of the things that I've come to love the most about the scripture we've been reading? The magnitude to which Jesus features women, and women in prominent and powerful roles throughout his life. In John 11:27, Jesus' mother, Mary, remember, she's the one who encourages him in his first miracle that he's performing to turn the water into wine at the wedding. She believed in him. And coming up in John 19, we're going to read about how when Jesus is arrested, how the disciples scatter. I mean, Peter denies him 3 times, and many of the others, well, they're nowhere to be seen. But his mother and some other women are the ones who are there. They are the ones at the foot of the cross during his crucifixion. They are the dedicated example of how their love for Jesus overrode their fear of persecution. In John 20, it's Mary Magdalene who becomes the first person to see Jesus risen and then announce his resurrection. It's a woman who announces his resurrection to the disciples. And today? Well, today, girl is my favorite female example of them all. And I wish we had a name for her, but we'll just know her as the woman at the well. We're going to pick up in John 4. And if you just have your earbuds on while you are cleaning the house or driving to school pickup, just listen along. But do me a favor, when you have some time, that little bit of quiet time that we don't get very much of, use it to read these verses for yourself. Don't ever just take my word for it or what the Holy Spirit showed me when I read it. I want you to read it for yourself. That way you can see what God is trying to tell you. But for now, let's just read it on here together. So like I said, we're picking up in John 4. And if you remember, we left off that Jesus was baptizing more and more. And word got out to the Pharisees about what he's doing. It's starting to spread. And he's left Judea and he's starting back to Galilee. Now on the way, he could go through Samaria. And the thing about Samaria is Samaritans and Jews, they didn't mix too well. They really stayed separately. They had different religious beliefs. And I think we can gather from the verses that we have that, well, they weren't too accepting of one another. But Jesus doesn't go the easier way. It's almost like he knows what will happen if he goes through Samaria. Almost like it could be part of a bigger plan. Verse 7. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." I love how it's kind of like the story of Nicodemus. Remember how Jesus is talking about being born again, but Nicodemus is just thinking literally. We're kind of getting that same parable, analogy, metaphor, whatever you want to call it here with how he's talking to the Samaritan woman, but she gets it a little faster than Nicodemus did. Verse 11, the woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and his sons and his flocks that drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go and call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "Yeah, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." What you have said is true, the woman said to him. Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. There's that phrase that we see so many times in John, spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. If you go back to some earlier episodes, we did this when we first came across these terms together. It was grace and truth and spirit and truth. I think it's somewhere around maybe episode 3 or 4, but don't call me on that if I'm wrong, but it's close. Verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that a Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, What do you want? Or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar. She knew she wasn't going to be thirsty again. She left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. There's a lot to unpack there, but for starters, I can't decide what's crazier. That this woman's marital status, which I totally relate to, it pretty much overtakes the narrative when we're describing her. The Bible doesn't tell us much else about her background other than her romantic past. And you know the other thing that's blowing my mind is that she, not just a woman, not just a foreigner, but a multiple divorcee, is who Jesus entrusted to minister to an entire group of people. A people that otherwise would have gone unreached. They needed a bridge between the Jews and the Samaritans. So Jesus used a Samaritan woman to bridge that gap. What an incredible responsibility that he chose her for. You know, I mentioned that I can completely relate to when they're talking about her marital status as basically her entire description. And, you know, I mean, I have it on my Instagram profile. I think my bio says like a divorced mama of 3 turning pain into empowerment, something, you know, cheesy tagline like that. But it is my marital status that really is a big part of the narrative of who I am at first glance to other people. And I have to say, as a quote-unquote Christian female podcaster, I do not fit the cookie-cutter mold. I am a 2-time divorcee, single mom of 3. Usually when you look at the example of a Christian woman, she's a part of the nuclear family. She has a husband that she relies on. She has children she's taking care of. They have this partnership, and it is, well, it is the example of what most Christians think the ideal family should look like. I do not fit that example. Yet here I am, a woman whose God's life has changed drastically. And that story that doesn't fit the mold, is the one that is ministering to so many other women who don't fit that mold. And the one thing that I desperately want you to take away from this story is do not discount the amazing things you can do because life didn't turn out the way that you planned. I didn't plan to get into an abusive first marriage, you know? He was supposed to be the love of my life. He was for 20 years. I didn't expect him to leave, and I did not expect him to completely tear apart my life for years after. My second husband, I thought he was going to be the one. He was going to be the one who put us back together. Because in my mind, for my family to work, I needed a man. I needed a father figure for my daughters and the son that he and I would come to have. I wanted the example to all of my kids of what a healthy marriage should look like. But, you know, I really wasn't thinking it through when I married an agnostic man that maybe that's not going to work out, that we're going to be this marriage of faith together. I was rationalizing for what I wanted in that moment. But, you know, regardless of all of that, the point is this was not what I planned for my life to look like. And yet somehow, because it turned out this way, I am able to do such greater things. I can reach an entire group of women who maybe wouldn't be able to relate to just the typical nuclear family Christian female. The Samaritan woman. She wasn't your cookie cutter mold, but she was the perfect person to reach the people of Samaria. You know what else I like about her? Woman at the Well doesn't seem to come across as some shrinking violet. You know, I'm sure she experienced being an outcast. I mean, look at the way the disciples just judged her at first glance. They couldn't believe he was talking to a woman, much less that kind of woman. But I'm not sure how much she really let it got to her, because when she's talking with Jesus, she voices a mind of her own. She asked Jesus, "Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well?" She thinks for herself. Does that kind of remind you a little bit of maybe what we're trying to do here? This podcast is called She Read It For Herself. So that way you can experience what God has to tell you, and then you can go out and minister with a deep conviction, because you're not just regurgitating what you've been told, what you learned in Sunday school, what some pastor drilled into your head. You are testifying about what you know. You know in your core, in your gut, to be true, because it is your firsthand experience. Just like the woman at the well. We're going to start wrapping up with this, but do you remember how we ended last episode in John, where John the Baptist says to his disciples, "He must increase, I must decrease." That's not just decreasing in ego, but it's reminding myself that it's not about me. It's not about my weaknesses. This greater path, obeying my calling, is about what God can make out of my weaknesses, in spite of my weaknesses. The only thing I need to focus on is making Him my priority. Laying down everything at His feet that I'm so worried about. This morning when I started off my day, once the kids were all at school so I can have a moment of peace to myself, I lay everything I'm worried about right at Jesus' feet. I give you the house. I give you my worry with the lender that it's all going to fall apart. I give you my concerns about this. I've been worried about my little boy. He's having a hard time transitioning back and forth between my house and his dad's. I lay Harry at your feet. I entrust you and I thank you that you're going to protect him. You're going to take care of him. I lay it at his feet and ask him to take it from me so that I can go on and do what he's called me to do. Does that make sense? It's about taking the next right step. and having faith that God is going to do the rest. If you take away one thing from this episode, one thing, my sweet friend, don't ever let anyone make you feel like you are too far gone to do great things. If there is one thing that I'm learning as I study through the book of John, is that the ones Jesus chose to make the most impact were the unexpected. It is not the preacher's kid who grew up this perfect Christian life, waited until they were married to have sex, and now she's living her perfect little role in the church and everything else. Not that there's anything wrong with her, but my point is that is not who Jesus chose, the perfect people. It was the outcast, the foreigner like the woman at the well, the divorcee, the tax collector, the adulterer. Those are the ones where, in my opinion, he seems to show the most love and entrust the most to do great things on his behalf. It is not too late for you to do incredible things. Can you see why she's my favorite? I hope you were able to get as much out of these verses as I did. I hope you feel great peace and you are excited deep in your soul to go on with today. I'm excited for you. I'm excited to see what God is going to do in your life. If you got much out of this episode, spread it to another woman. Please share it to a female sister in Christ. Because we have got to get this message out of how powerful women's voices are. So please share this episode. And if you'd like to get to know me more, follow me on Instagram at Ms. MS Pink Monster. Also, be sure to hit that follow subscribe button so you get every single episode as we go through the book of John. And man, I feel like a mooch saying this every episode, but it really does make a difference. Please leave me a positive review. It'll take you 2 seconds, and it's not for my ego. It's because that is the algorithm that Apple uses to push your podcast out to reach more people. And that, at the end of the day, that is the goal here, ladies. That is what I pray every time. God, just use me as a vessel to get the message to that woman who needs to hear it today. All right, my sweet friends. I hope you enjoy your day. It is rainy and dreary here, but blah, that's okay. We're going to do something wonderful. All right. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Take care, and I can't wait to see you next time. Bye.